Welcome to the Digital Story Show, new tools for the creative mind. The Digital Story Show takes you inside with tips for the creative pursuit of photography, music, video, hardware, software, techniques, and hacks. You'll soon find yourself thinking less about buttons and menus and more about expressing the artist inside us all. Now the Digital Story Show with Derek Story.
June 17th, 2008, The Digital Story Show with Derek Story. Today's topic, Aperture Priority Refresher. Welcome back to another Digital Story. I have a few things I want to talk about today. We're going to revisit aperture priority setting. I've talked about it in the past a little bit here and there as parts of other shows, but I've seen some questions lately come up, and so I want to touch on it today. I'm going to talk a little bit about the discussion that we had on the blog about audio podcasts and or versus putting video in the podcast feed. And then I have some other little odds and ends too. So it's a variety show today with lots to keep you interested while you're traveling or doing whatever you happen to be doing right now as you're listening to this show. I'm going to start out with a discussion that we had on the blog actually, and then I'll get into aperture priority. So I posted this question because I have some video. I've been actually capturing more video lately, and I have some good stuff. And the latest thing that I recorded was this interview with Burt Monroy. And Burt Monroy is just a great guy and an amazing artist. And I mean amazing. He does illustration in Photoshop that, as a photographer, just knocks my socks off. I call it photorealism. He calls it, he had another term for it. But the fact of the matter is that he takes pictures of these scenes and then a whole bunch of pictures, tons and tons and tons of them, all from different angles, little details, big picture, you know, the whole thing. And then what he does is that he puts together his own illustration using the close-up shots of the detailed stuff to make just wonderful detail in his illustration, and then, of course, the whole view to help him put together the big picture. And some of these things take him a couple years to do, and they're just incredible. And so he works in Photoshop, and he's an artist, and even though he's not a photographer in the sense that probably you or I are a photographer, and that's our primary expression, photography is really important to what he does. It helps him do his art. And then, of course, Photoshop is critical to his work. And then his thoughts on creativity are just fantastic. I went to his studio. His studio's up in the hills of Berkeley, Northern California. I just ran the G9. I just turned on the G9. Originally, I was going to do this as an audio podcast, and we were talking for about 5 minutes. I just go, no, that's not going to work at all. So I, you know, went to video mode in the G9 and just started recording it, and it turned out really well. I've already done a rough cut on it, and I'm going to try to run it later on this week. So I'm sitting on this really nice piece with Burt Monroy, and I'm thinking, you know, I have more and more video available to me, so should I consider running videos sometimes instead of the audio podcast on Tuesdays? But I didn't want to do anything without checking with you guys, because I know this from experience that even though I'm the main content creator of the Digital Story, you guys contribute, you know, tons of stuff. And then also there's a certain amount of ownership that comes with any site when you join a virtual camera club or follow you know, the goings-ons of a site. There's a certain amount of ownership. And I've learned in the past that you want to honor that and make sure you don't start doing wholesale changes without, well, checking with the owners, so to speak. So I thought, well, I better ask before I do anything crazy here. And I did, and it's a really good conversation. If you haven't read it, I'll link to it in the show notes. But the basic thing I was asking, audio only or video and audio kind of thing. The overwhelming response was, well, we like video, but we don't want video instead of our audio. We want it in addition to. And I totally get that. And I'm not surprised at all. I'm sort of the same way myself. I like audio podcasts the same way I used to like radio before it was just full of advertisements and I hardly got any programming. I mean, I've gone on, you know, little short drives and I turned on the radio station and I had commercials practically the whole drive and with no programming. The thing that I like about audio is that you can listen to it and enjoy it while you're driving, while you're commuting, while you're doing other things. And I think this is a real strength of audio. And, you know, let's face it, we're all smart people and we can process audio and do other tasks at the same time. I wasn't surprised when you said, well, you know, we want to keep the audio because it's already part of a routine that we're doing, but the occasional video is nice too. And so that's what I'm going to do. So I'm going to keep the regular Tuesday podcast as audio shows. And then I'm going to do the occasional video, but it will be in addition to, and it'll run on another day. Now, I will tell you this, it is going to go into the feed the same way the audio shows do. So if you're subscribed via iTunes, it will show up there. That doesn't mean that you have to download it. So if you're just like anti-video, if you don't want any video at all, then just don't download it when it shows up in the feed. You can skip it. However, I'll tell you, most of the time it'll be pretty good stuff. And I would go ahead and download it and then watch it, you know, on your computer or on Apple TV or however you do that. Later on when you have a chance, they'll only be about 15 or 20 minute shows most of the time, but they're going to be primarily interviews with interesting people. And I think for the most part, you'll enjoy it. So that's what we're going to do. So we're going to stay audio on Tuesdays. I'm going to augment it with some video as opportunity presents itself and as I have time. The next opportunity that I have is going to be next week, actually. I'm going to be teaching in Santa Fe. I'll be teaching a workshop on Photoshop workflow in Lightroom. And I'm going to do some video capture then, too. And maybe I'll do a little bit on location, maybe try to do some interviews. Like I said, there's going to be interesting stuff coming down the pike, and I'm going to feed it to you as I have time to produce it pretty much. Okay, let me talk about aperture priority for a second, and then we'll do a little bit more business. So one of the things that I've been seeing lately come up on the forum and just in general is this idea about using aperture priority. And I have to tell you, I think it's one of the most useful modes outside of program mode on the camera. And in fact, in my earlier days of photography, when I was shooting with Contax cameras with Zeiss lenses, aperture priority was the automatic mode. You had aperture priority and you had manual, and that was pretty much it. And, of course, the way that aperture priority works is that you set the aperture, f2.8, f4, f5.6, f8, whatever you want to do, and then the camera reads the scene at the aperture you have set, and sets the corresponding shutter speed automatically. So it's what I would call a semi-automatic mode. And I shot for years that way most of the time, and it was good because it always had me thinking about depth of field. And of course, that's what you control in aperture priority mode. You're controlling depth of field. Now, in shutter priority mode, you're controlling other things. You're controlling motion for the most part. Although in flash photography, you're also controlling ambient light. But in aperture priority, pretty much depth of field. Just by way of refresher, sometimes I think it's a good idea when you're going out for a shoot, maybe as a self-assignment, to say, I'm going to shoot in aperture priority mode today. I'm going to take it out of program, and I'm just going to shoot in aperture priority. Now, why would you want to do that? Well, here's why. When you shoot in aperture priority, you're constantly thinking about what's going to be in focus and what's not. So, for instance, if you start out and you're shooting some portraits, let's say that they're going to be portraits, single person, you're going to get out the zoom lens, you want to make the background soft. So then in aperture priority, and you're shooting existing light probably, you'll go to something like f2 or f2.8, depends on what your wide aperture setting is. Focus right on the eyes and then try to get as much distance as you can between the subject and the background, now then the background will go soft and it'll look great. And then let's say later on in the day you want to shoot some architecture, some buildings, and you really want everything from the foreground to the background sharp. You want everything to look good and, you know, be nice and, you know, crispy. Well, in that case, then, in aperture priority mode, you probably want to shoot at something like f16 or f22, whatever, kind of near the minimum end of what you have there. And chances are, if the light is low, you'll want to steady your camera, because when you stop down, and especially if you're not going to raise that ISO up, right? You need to say, I want to keep the ISO at 100 because I want maximum image quality, or whatever your perfect ISO setting is. But at the same time, I want this great depth of field. So you're shooting at f22 in subdued light at ISO 100. Your shutter speed can be down around an eighth of a second, a fourth of a second, you know, half a second. So then you want to steady it on a tripod. So then, okay, you're staying on a tripod, but then you want to, well, how am I going to trip the shutter? Am I going to use the self-timer? Or am I going to use a remote release? Because you want to do something so that you don't jar the camera when you trip the shutter. So suddenly, working in aperture priority mode, it kind of gets you into a good photography technique. You're thinking about depth of field. You're thinking about good camera techniques, such as using a tripod and using remote releases. You're thinking about all sorts of stuff. And I think it gets your technical juices going. And sometimes when we shoot in program mode, I won't say that we get a little soft, because believe me, and I'm talking about me too, but maybe we get a little soft in that we go, well, you know what? You look through the viewfinder, you're in program mode, and you see that it's shooting at f5.6. You know you probably want a little bit more depth of field than that, but you go ahead and take the shot anyway, because you don't feel, you know, you're sort of in program mode. And you don't feel like getting out of program mode and, you know, and start activating the other parts of your brain. And sometimes that's okay, believe me. But I think we still should have days where we go, you know what, I'm going to use the other part of my brain too. And I'm going to be a real craftsman today. And I'm going to be very precise about how I do all of my exposures. And I think then aperture priority mode is a great mode to work in. And who knows, you know, as you're working in it and you're already making some changes, and you'll go, well, you know, I think I'm going to do a little exposure compensation here. That wall is a nice, you know, dark, rich brown. It's a wood wall, let's say, and I want to keep it rich. So I'm going to underexpose that wall by a half a stop or so. And, you know, I'm using F16 and I'm using my remote release, and I got set up on the tripod. I bought the tripod today because I knew I was going to be shooting in aperture priority mode. You almost always need a tripod if you're going to do a full day shooting in aperture priority, because at some point you're going to want depth of field. You're going to want to stop it down. You're not going to want to raise the ISO, and suddenly you're in tripod land. So, you know, but you have your tripod with you because you're thinking from the get-go, this is what I'm going to do. And then I also think it has some impact on, you know, what lenses you bring. You may, for example, not be as dependent on all of your zoom lenses as you normally are. You may bring a few prime lenses because they have apertures of f1.8 or f2, and you know that you some of the shots you're going to do, you might want that option. You might want to be able to open all the way up. So now, you know, not only have you got your tripod out of the closet, you've also, you know, broken out a few lenses that you haven't used for a while, that 85 f1.8 or that 100 f2 or that 24 millimeter, you know, f3.5, whatever, you know, whatever lenses that you have stashed away, prime lenses that maybe you haven't shot with for a while. And so preparing for your aperture priority only day, suddenly you're breaking out lenses that you haven't used before too. So I just think it's a very healthy exercise, and I just wanted to revisit it today in case you found yourself shooting in program mode maybe just a bit too much lately. And in, you know, maybe in the back of your mind you're saying, you know, am I losing my chops a little bit? And so set up a day for aperture priority, say you're going to stay in that mode all day. Think it through before you go. Make sure you have the right equipment with you, tripod, prime lenses, things of that nature, and then go for it and see what you get. And then at the end of the day, when you're looking at the stuff on the computer, you go, wow, I feel like a real craftsman today. I feel like I really did something. I feel like I did good work today. You know that feeling? That's a terrific feeling. I love that feeling myself. So give it a whirl. And if you do it, and no matter what kind of experience you have, if you feel like it, could you take a minute and maybe post a comment to the show notes to this podcast and tell us what happened? Or if you want, maybe I'll start a thread also on the Flickr public group, and you can chime in there too. So either place, whatever works for you. But I'd love to hear a little feedback on this notion of having an aperture priority day. If it works out, you know, we might try it with some other things too. Okay, so that's that's my aperture thought for the day. Okay, I still have a couple more things. So I want to talk about a photo assignment, which is just the opposite of aperture priority. You can tell I really have a, you know, thought out editorial calendar for this show. So the photo assignment for June is motion. And, oh, I love the shots are coming. I don't know why I didn't think of this photo assignment earlier, because I'm just loving what I'm seeing. I like motion anyway. You know, I love motion shots, and so I'm really digging these. So, you know, motion is more of a shutter priority kind of thing, where, you know, you decide you want to show a lot of motion, and so you slow the shutter down, or you want to stop the motion and you speed the shutter up. You know, all that good kind of stuff, panning. So you find any kind of shutter speed that works, and you move the camera while you're taking the shot along with the object that you're shooting. So much fun stuff you can do with this. So, and I'm loving the shots, but you have till the end of June to get your motion shot in. I highly recommend that you do that. If you have any inclination at all at being in a photo assignment, make this one a self-assignment and go shoot something, because they are a kick. And I'm looking forward to posting that gallery. Also, I want to remind you about grab shots. And to please, if you're sitting on one, to send it in, because it's a regular part of the blog and a part that I enjoy very much. I have a new How I Did It, I think by Jim Austin, that I just published on Monday. And it's another good one. It's called the Chevy on the Levee, I believe. It looks sharp. It looks sharp. And then Jim really does a good job of explaining his whole thinking process on taking the shot and then how he produced the final product, which is what I love about the How I Did It assignments, is that we get a little bit more, we go beyond the technical. I mean, the technical is important always in photography, but I also like the thought process that, you know, where you see a shot or you see the possibility of a shot, and then you think it all the way through, and then you use your technical stuff to get what you conceived. And that's what I like about How I Did It, because it covers both sides of it. It does that part, and then it talks about the technical stuff. So it's a really nice one up right now. If you haven't taken a look at it, go over to thedigitalstory.com and take a look at the latest How I Did It. And you can always see them, by the way, on the Digital Photography Companion page, because I run them on there too. And then we're going to have a fun thing. When I run the Burt Monroy interview that I captured, one of the things that Burt does, he uses Red River paper, which is so cool. I didn't even know this. You know, this is sort of a serendipity. We were just talking, and I don't know. I think I may have told him that Red River was a new sponsor to the Digital Story. And he goes, oh, I love Red River paper. So I told the Red River folks this. I said, you know, I got this great Burt Monroy interview. He's a big fan of your stuff. And they go, oh, yeah, we know. We know Burt. We like Burt a lot. And so they're going to have a discount. I think they're going to give all the Digital Story readers an additional, like, a 10% discount in honor. We're going to call it the Burt Monroy discount. And so when I post that video, you know, there'll be a show notes page, just like when I do the audio. And that discount will be on that page. So, you know, you want to check it out. And if you're, you know, in the mood to buy some paper, Red River paper is already fabulous paper at a very affordable price, and then you get an extra 10% off. So it doesn't, you know, how cool is that? So anyway, so we're doing that, and I'm still working on LowPro, see what's going to happen. I met with Oliver from Boink Software. He was out from Germany for WWDC, and we got together. He actually came up to my studio, which I thought was really neat, the studio that I'm just moving into. And he hung out for a while, and he showed me a new product that Boink is coming out with that is just, oh my gosh, it is so way cool. It's in beta right now, but I just wanted to give you a heads up that I'm going to be talking about it, and it'll be something that we'll be featuring on the show here. So good stuff happening from Boink, and of course they are, you know, they were my first sponsor and have continued sponsoring the show all the way through, and they're just great folks. So lots of good stuff going on. I'm very excited. This is going to be a fun summer. Next week I'm going to be in Santa Fe, and so I'll try to get as much you know, good content for you together as I can. I also will get a podcast up, and look for that Burt Monroy interview. I'll try to get that going pretty soon. And just stay tuned in general, and go out and try this Aperture Priority thing that I talked about today. And then let me know what you think. All right, well, have a great week. I'll see you next week, and thanks so much for stopping by The Digital Story. Bye-bye now.
Your questions and comments, email them to questions@thedigitalstory.com. For show notes, web blogs, and informative articles, visit www.thedigitalstory.com. We'll see you next time on The Digital Story.